So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for this season as we move towards Christmas. May we enter into it wholeheartedly in your love. We praise your name. Well, we are moving into Christmas. It's a wonderful moment when we celebrate the Word made flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. And in today's readings, we have like a flashback to 9 months before, because you can't have a birth without a conception. And we all know 9 months from the 25th of March to the 25th of December. Church is good at counting. So the 25th of March being, of course, the Feast of the Annunciation, which we're celebrating today, reminding us that the child was conceived in the womb through the yes of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her cooperation with the grace of God. This magnificent moment when she said yes to the angel's message that she was conceived and bear a son, to name him Jesus, and he would be great and Son of the Most High, and that he would rule over the house of Jacob. He'd have the throne of the ancestor David. And she says, but I don't know man. How can this happen? And the angel said, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will overshadow you with the power of God the Most High. And the way Bernard of Clairvaux tells the story, as he's meditating upon it, he has a pause at this moment, and he imagines that the whole world is waiting upon the answer of the Virgin. And he builds it up very dramatically. He says things like, the very consolation of the wretched depends upon you. The very freedom of the captives waits for your answer. The deliverance of all who are lost depends upon your yes. He builds it up quite dramatically. He says, open your heart, dear Virgin. Open your lips with the words of faith. Open your womb to the divine Son of God. Don't hesitate now, but say your yes. And then there's a big pause. And then she finally says, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. The hinge of our salvation, Mary's yes, which she could only make, of course, under the grace of God, but she cooperated by her free decision with the will of God for the salvation of all. And everything hung upon that response. How fragile was the work of God and his plan for the humanity. And that yes of the Blessed Virgin Mary is for us to ponder today and to be drawn into as we come to Christmas, because we too are to open our hearts to the Saviour coming within us. We too are to make that yes to the will of God freely and fully and completely, especially at this time. And so it's good for us to ponder. Now, I was thinking today about when I first received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The preacher invited us to make our own yes in union with the Blessed Virgin Mary to the overpowering of the Holy Spirit. And so it was like going to that moment in Nazareth and opening the heart and saying, yes, I believe the impossible can happen, that you will overpower me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. It was a very special moment that I've always been grateful for. And throughout our journey, there are certain moments when we are called to make a deeper yes, a deeper surrender to the will of God. And maybe this Christmas will be for you one of those moments when you'll just open your heart more and surrender more to what God wants in your life and allow Him to have His way with you. Now, when I was prayed with for the Holy Spirit those many years ago, I was invited to also pray the prayer of Charles de Foucault, which is a surrender prayer that goes like this. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I'm ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I want no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, because you are my Father. It's a beautiful prayer of just simple surrender into the hands of the Father God, of yielding and giving over to Him. And I was able to revisit that prayer when I was in Nazareth last year, and was able to pray at the very place where Charles de Foucault used to pray in Nazareth. Because I guess many of you would know that he had been a playboy in the late 19th century, as 19th century playboys would be, and very rich, and spent all his money on what we used to call wine, women and song. And then he got touched when he was with the Foreign Legion in Algiers. He got touched by the faith of the Muslim people. And it hit him that maybe God does exist, even though he was a wayward Catholic and given up on that sort of thing. So when he came back to France, he was talking to a friend, and she convinced him to go and talk to a priest. And so he turned up to the priest, but he chose the wrong time. The priest was actually hearing confession. And so he said to Abbe Huvelin, he said, I've just come to talk about the faith. And the priest said, kneel down, make your confession. He said, no, I haven't come for that. I've just come to talk about the faith. Kneel down and give your confession. So he knelt down. And by the grace of God, he confessed. It took him a couple of hours, but he had a lot to tell. And he said, when he received the absolution, that that moment, he knew God existed. He knew he was real. And then he said, once I knew he was real, then I knew the only response I could make was give my life totally to him. And so he went off to a Trappist monastery. And yet that wasn't enough. After a few years there, it didn't seem to be enough. He ended up in Nazareth, right next to the place of the Annunciation. He wanted to go back to where Jesus was growing up in obscurity and to discover something about that self-abandonment of Christ at that time. And so I had the opportunity when I was in Nazareth to pray at the very place where he used to pray there. He presented himself to the poor Clares and told them that he was just a hobo and could they look after him, and he'd worked on their garden. And so he did. He worked out and he lived in the garden shed. But they noticed this hobo had something different about him. He spent a lot of time before the Blessed Sacrament, wrapped in love. And they realised that, hey, our gardener is more than we expected. And so he ended up sort of becoming a priest and then going off into the Sahara Desert in the middle of nowhere with the most remote people of the world, to just be a presence of Christ to them, and to spend most of his time just glued to the Blessed Sacrament in his little chapel, in the little fortress that he built there. He finally ended up being shot dead by a marauding band of young guys. But now, like, there's six congregations in the church that have started as a result of his charism. So something happened, didn't it? What happened? It was self-abandonment. It was surrender to God. You only have to have one person truly surrender to the Lord. But take 12 like the first apostles and you'll change the world. Well, there's more than 12 here. So who will it be? Who will be the life-changing, the world-changing influence? We don't do it for that purpose, but we do it because we love God. So there in that chapel, I prayed for that grace of self-abandonment, that grace of surrender would be in my own heart and would be in your hearts too, because I prayed for you, that we together would truly be surrendered to God with the yes of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which sort of happened right there at the same place, and with the yes of Charles de Foucault. But remember, when the Blessed Virgin Mary made her yes, she was only a slip of a girl, very enthusiastic for God, obviously, but she had no idea what was in store for her and where it would take her. And it took her to the cross, did it not? 33 years later, we find her standing at the foot of the cross. So when you make your surrender to the Lord, when you say yes to him with the Blessed Virgin Mary, it has to be unreserved. It has to be unconditional. Because God has loved us unconditionally. He gave himself completely for us when Jesus hung on that cross. And my yes has to be a response of that kind. A readiness to be yielded to God and whatever his will is in my life. That's the sort of yes that he wants to give to each one of us, and have that sort of response to his love. It's a beautiful invitation. And you see, it becomes world-changing when people really give their lives over to God, because then he can use them as he wants to use them. He can make of their lives what he wants to make of their lives. Otherwise, we're just shaping the whole thing and we're calling the tune and we're doing it our way. And there's nothing intrinsically wrong about that. It's just that you miss out on all the grace. You miss out on all of what God really wanted to do by the overpowering of the Holy Spirit and by the anointing of the Spirit in your personal life. And so there's a difference, isn't there? And that's the beauty of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She went through sorrow after sorrow. We talk about the $7 of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It all led towards the cross. But she wasn't bemoaning that. We know ultimately, of course, she would have been the first one to experience the resurrection, even though it's not recorded. I'm sure Christ went first to his mother after he was raised from the dead. And what a joyful reunion that would have been. But how much sorrowful and suffering would there have been prior to that for both of them, united in the suffering. That is the lot of all those who are disciples of Jesus. He calls us to follow him and to give of ourselves completely, not to hang on to anything that would be a hindrance to our union with God, but to go after it with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. That's what God's purpose is for each one of us in whatever our state of life. You don't have to go like Charles de Foucault did to a Trappist monastery. You don't have to go to out into the desert. You might be called to do that, but you don't have to do that. By no means. It's where we are. The Blessed Virgin Mary was simply a housewife. But there, God acted in her life and gave her all the graces, full of grace. And he wants to give us the graces too, to be able to live our life fully according to his will and purpose. You know, when we say the Our Father, Teresa of Avila points that out. She says that we say, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's let your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. But what do we say next? Give us this day our daily bread. Why? So that we'll have the strength to do his will. So that's why we come to the Eucharist. So we'll have the strength to do his will. Because there's going to be calamities happening in your life. There's going to be sort of difficult times and circumstances when you feel like you just want to walk away from God. And some people at Christmas time feel the depth of the tragedy that might have happened last Christmas or the year before, because everyone seems to be joyful and they're feeling sorrow in themselves. There are many sorrows in life, are there not? And we'll be drawn into some of that experience of the cross of Jesus, as Mary was, as Charles de Foucault was, and gave his life for his faith. We'll all be drawn into that in some way. But there will be the grace of a deeper yes. Mary's yes was made as a young girl, but then there's another yes, another yes, another yes. And maybe at this time in your journey, as you're listening to this, you're thinking, oh my goodness, that's what's happening. God is drawing me into a deeper yes to him, a deeper surrender to his will in my life. And maybe I'm resisting a bit. Maybe I'm holding out against that because it's a little hard, it's a little difficult. But God is merciful, and he's kind, and he's generous. And he'll touch into your heart with all the grace that you need to be able to follow him until the end. Because he has loved you until the end. That's the whole mystery of the cross. That's the mystery of the Eucharist that we celebrate here. That he will have been loved until the end. And he'll love you and love you and love you and love you. That's how he is. And then he calls forth from you a heart response, as he did of the Blessed Virgin, as he did of all the saints who have gone down through the history, those that we know of and those that we don't know of. God will speak into your heart. So tonight, let's be open, as the Blessed Virgin Mary was open. As we sang in the first song, open up your hearts. Let the King of Glory enter. Let him really enter your life this Christmas time. Let nothing hold you back from him coming to a deeper place of union with you during this Christmas. So he truly lives within you, as really as he lived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that he comes within you by your yes to him. He waits upon you. He knocks on the door as he knocked on the door of her heart for her yes. He knocks on the door of your heart for your yes to him and your surrender of heart to him. Where you say, yes, Lord, whatever you will. And I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I'm ready for anything. I accept everything. Let only your will be done in me. I want no more than this, O Lord. And bless his name.